Okay, we're good. All right. So I want to take up the issue of the Tefillah of Nachem, putting aside that nice title of the enigmatic evolution of the Tefillah of Nachem. But when I first started looking into it, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. But then after a little bit of research, it turns out that it's actually a very, very big deal. Putting aside the fact that there were a number of people who asked me what the Tefillah of Nachem was when I first wanted to put the title together, we'll ignore that that depressing feature. The Tefillah of Nachem is what we say on Tisha B'Av and Mincha. So what I want to do is, if you look at the source sheet, I attached it the last two pages, basically what we do today by Tefillah. All right, so if you just take a quick look, just so we have everything in mind what we do today, and I put in Tainis Tzibur for a reason. So let's just start from Re'ev Anenu. So as everyone knows, we say Re'ev Anenu, and then the Shliach Tzibur will say Anenu Hashem Anenu, because it's a Tainis, and that's what we do on a normal Tainis, as well as Tisha B'Av. Then we say Refa'enu Hashem Anerafet, okay? So on a regular Tainis, that's what the Shliach Tzibur does, and we would say in Shema Kolenu, and the Shliach Tzibur does it also on Tisha B'Av. Okay, skipping ahead, what we do today is we say V'lushlaim Recha Barachamim Tashuv. This is the normal minhag today, and again, this is only mincha. Okay, so only mincha we say this, and we insert the Tefillah of Nachem. So if you see on that piece of paper, if you see on that sheet, I put on the sheet on the bottom there after V'lushlaim Recha the Tefillah of Nachem. Okay, one thing I do not want to take up too much. There's a tremendous girsa change between what was written in the Gemara Yerushalmi and what we do today. But we'll touch on that briefly. But basically, we say the Tefillah Nachem. Okay, everyone says it. And then we end off with Menachem Tzion Avon Yerushalayim. Okay? And then we continue on to Es Tzemach David. Okay, so again, I'll just put... Can you just put your mute button on? Someone just called in. Yeah, there you go. Okay. So again, just to review, so the Minach today, or what everyone does today, is in at Mincha time in V'lushlaim Mircha, we add in the Tefillah of Nachem. Okay? But we'll get into the content soon. Then after that, we say Es Semach David. Okay? And then continue Shemon Es, right? And then the other thing I want to, again, just to make sure all the facts are down, is on a Yantav, or Chol HaMoed, let's stick with Chol HaMoed, we would say Ritzeh, and then after Ritzeh, we'd say Yalav Yavo. Okay? So basically what I want to bring out is that normally speaking, there are three insertions that I want to briefly look at. There's the insert of Anenu, there's the insert of Nachem, which is unique to the Mincha on Tisha B'Av in V'lushlaim Yercha, and then Yalav Yavo, which we say on Chol HaMoed. And you'll see why all these things tie in, or why these are all relevant issues soon. All right, so let's take a look at source number one, which is the Gemara Yerushalmi. So where's the source for Nachem come from? It comes from this Gemara Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi basically says, Amar v'acha bar Yitzchak v'shem Rabbi Chiya de Tziporin, Yachid b'tishabav tzarech lahaskir me'ena ma'ora. Okay? So an individual on Tishabav must recall me'ena ma'ora. Does everyone know what me'ena ma'ora is? Anyone? I hate lecturing, so someone has to say something. Everyone know me'ena ma'ora? You could type it if you want. No one? There you go. What's me'ena ma'ora? Someone's about to say something in conference. No? Yeah, you do. You do. It's like Mayna Mara means like the theme of the day. In other words, like because it's let's take Pesach. So Yalav Yavo is Mayna Mara. Okay, and there's Mayna Mara means that there's a certain theme of the day, and there's an obligation as a result of the theme to say a specific tefillah. So on Yantav you say Yalav Yavo. On Purim and Chanukah, what do we say in Purim and Chanukah that is Me'ena Ma'ora? Right? We say Al Anisim, right? That's the Me'ena Ma'ora of those days. So, and on Tainis, what's the Me'ena Ma'ora of Tainis? The Me'ena Ma'ora is Anenu. And the Gemara Yerushalmi now says that the Me'ena Ma'ora of Tisha B'Av is this tefillah it's about to talk about. So what is that? So Ma'o Omer, Rachim Hashem Elkein Barachamecha Rabim Chasadecha, etc., etc. So the tefillah starts off with the word rachim, which you may think is a very minor issue, but turns out it's actually very important. So it starts off with the word rachim, okay? And if you notice, obviously today, we say nachim instead. That's going to come up later on. That's going to be one question we're going to have to answer. Is there a difference between rachim and nachim? But if I asked you, just looking at the overall tefillah, what's the theme of the tefillah? What would you say the theme of tefillah is? Anyone? Anyone? No one? Oh, 1 second. My signal just went, it says trying to reconnect. Hold on. It's trying to reconnect on the thing. Anyone who's on the conference, so what would you say is the, what would you say the theme of Nachem is? Wait, say it one more time. Say it again. Interesting. Okay. Asking for mercy, but there is no actual there's no actual request for the building of Yerushalayim. You know that? In other words, if you look at it carefully, the main line is hold on, I'm just going to have to redo this Facebook thing. I knew it wouldn't work that well. Let's try that again. Hold on. Anyway, if you look carefully at the tefillah, the key line, let's start from the beginning. It says, Rachem Hashem Elokeinu, Rachamecha Rabim, V'chasadecha Ne'emanim Aleinu, V'al Amcha Yisrael, V'al Yishlaim Recha, V'al Yishlaim Recha, V'al Yishlaim Recha, V'al Yir Avila V'chareva. Okay? So where the unique part of it comes out, hold on 1 second. Yeah, I'm trying to. Hold on. Give me 1 second, guys. 1 second. Okay, so we're back online. So anyway, so if you look at the tefillah, right? If you look at the tefillah, so basically what you see is that it says, and as we're talking about the fact that the city was destroyed, ha'ir ha'avela v'chareva v'harusa v'ashamema v'hanasuna biyad zarim. So this city was basically annihilated, destroyed. It was given to the basically given over to the straight, the Goyim, right? And we lost its inheritance, and it's being profaned by idolaters, etc. And it was given to us, okay? So basically, if I asked what's the basic theme, it sounds like the theme is mourning the destruction of Yerushalayim, right? Does anyone disagree with that before I move on to the next point? In other words, the basic theme of this tefillah seems to be the mourning of the destruction of Yerushalayim. Right, is that clear? Anyone have any questions about that? Yeah, in other words, it sounds like what we're saying is we're asking for comfort. Well, let's say mercy. We're asking for mercy due to the state of destruction that Yerushalayim is in. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's a good question. We'll take that up. But don't worry about comforting per se. The point is that the nature, this isn't a classic request. It's basically stating that the city of Yerushalayim is in waste, is basically destroyed, right? And we're asking for mercy about that state, okay? So there's a famous question, a very modern question that comes up as a result of the language of this tefillah. What would you say that question is? It's a big one. There's a question that people ask today about this tefillah. What question would you ask about this tefillah? Anyone? Three seconds. There's no question to ask about the tefillah. So what people ask today is that why do we say this tefillah today if Yerushalayim is built up again? That's actually a very popular question. Right. Hold on to that point. We'll get to that. But the question that comes up is that how does it make sense to be mispalel about how does it make sense to mention this fact, quote unquote, that Yerushalayim is in a state of destruction when in truth it's not. You walk around Yerushalayim, it's built up. All right, so we don't have Mikdash, okay? I'm sorry? It's still in the state of destruction. The Mikdash is, right? The Mikdash certainly is destroyed. Is it built? Oh, so let me ask you a question, okay? So you're going to say, okay, good, good, good. So now, think about this for a second. Before we get to the halachic issues, okay? Just let's take a step back. This is a very odd tefillah, okay? So you're going to say that the reason why we're mourning the destruction of Yerushalayim, right, is because of the fact we don't have the Mikdash, right? Right, is that what you would say? Anyone disagree with that as an assumption? So if that's true, I'll ask you a simple question. Show me where in this tefillah there's any mention of Korban HaBayis. Okay, if you're telling me the whole essence is really about the Mikdash, which I agree, that seems to be the theme of Tisha B'Av, of Mikdash, right? So wouldn't you want the very tefillah itself that talks about, that's the thematic expression of Tisha B'Av, right? Shouldn't that tefillah include some mention of Korban HaBayis? There's no mention of Mikdash there. It talks about the city, the ear, the city of Yerushalayim that's destroyed and okay, good. So you would say that says Tzion B'Shan Kvodecha, right? Okay, now if you look, where does that should sound a little familiar to you, this introductory part of the tefillah. Where does that come from? Anyone know where that comes from? Or at least this is a similar precedent? So it's from benching, okay? Right? So you see that in benching, we have a similar intro, right? But I would argue, you're right, it does mention the idea of Tzion B'Shan Kvodecha, but I would argue that's the Hakdama. I would argue that the Hakdama is the Rachem, and that the specificity begins with Ha'ir HaVela. That's where the real specific idea of this tefillah comes out. You know what I mean? Rachem is the first sentence is more of a general idea. But shouldn't the focus be on that? But you're right. So let's say it says Ve'al Tzion B'Shan Kvodecha, right? So why not say right afterwards Ve'al, right? Hamikdash Ha'avela V'Chareva, or Ve'al Beit Hamikdash Ha'avela V'Chareva Harusa. Why would isn't that a better way? Isn't that the main theme of this entire Yom? And yet we don't mention that. So you're going to be stuck, because if you want us to give the argument to say that the reason why we mention Yerushalayim, that Yerushalayim includes Mikdash, so even though Yerushalayim is built up today, the fact that there's no Mikdash, the Mikdash is not rebuilt, right, means it's still in a state of destruction. I agree with that. So then why didn't the field just mention that? Why don't just focus on the essence, which is really the Mikdash, higher bias? That should be what we focus on, not on the fact that the city's in a state of destruction. You know what I mean? So that's why that's why you're stuck. Either you're going to tell me that Yerushalayim is built up, and therefore you shouldn't say it's field anymore, or you're going to argue that as long as there's no Mikdash, and the city's not built up. But then I'd ask you, then why not just focus on Mikdash? Why would you say, why spend all this time talking about the city? The focus is on the city, not on the actual Beis HaMikdash itself. Okay? Is that clear? Or let me rephrase. Does anyone not understand that before we move on to the next point? Okay. So then Yerushalmi says, V'adayin, so the Gemara then says, so where do you put that? Okay? Where does this go? Okay. So the Gemara said, you skip a few lines down, the Gemara says, Boy Kame Rebbe Mana. It's three lines on the bottom, okay, of that source. So Eichan Omra, so what do you say it? So Amalei, Vadain in es inat lazu koldaba shulava omra bavoda, the koldaba shulavar omra bavoda. Umasnisa omra kin, the nosin odalish avar vitsoik lasababa. So there's, when it comes to Ma'inim Ora, there's only two spots for Ma'inim Ora, okay, normally. One spot is going to be in Ritzei, okay? That's Yalav Yavo. That's that location. And the other location is going to be where Al Nisim is said, in Hoda. So there's only two spots this tefillah can go in, okay? Either it can go into the section on from Ritzei in Yalav Yavo, or it goes into the section of Hoda, okay? So obviously, I'm sorry? What about Anenu? Good question. Okay, we'll get back to Anenu, okay? We'll get back to Anenu. Because we have to find, it's a great question. We have to understand what makes Anenu different, right? We'll bring up, I'll get to Anenu soon. But right now, looking at the tefillah, what obvious question must you ask right now? You have to ask. And the Gemara Yerushalmi is telling you, where does it go? It goes in Ritzei. And yet, what do we do today? Where does it go today? Where do we say Nachem today? Well, no, Yerushalayim Ircha. Okay. In other words, the problem is that the Gemara Yerushalmi says, where does this tefillah belong? This tefillah belongs in the Yalav Yavo section, in Ritzei. But today, that's not what we do. We say it in Yerushalayim Ircha, like on the fifth page of the source sheet, right? There was a set, on the fifth page. It said, that's where we inserted. We inserted it in the Lushlaim Erecha. So how'd that happen? If the Gemara Yushami says that we have to say it in Me'inam Ora, Me'inam Ora belongs in either in Ritzei, which is the Avoda section, or Hodah, which is where Al Nisim goes. So how is it today that we say Nachim in the Lushlaim? How does that work? How could that be possible? Okay? So that's another question. Another question is that what happened? How is it that if the Gemara Yushami tells us we can only say it in Yalav Yavo, that today we say it in Lushlaim Erecha? And you got to be very careful in how you approach this, okay? You'll see soon this goes back a long way source-wise, but you got to be careful how you approach this. Because if you approach it by defending the Lushlaim Erecha position, then you're assuming that the ideal place for it is in Lushlaim. But that can't be. The ideal place for it is definitely in Yalav Yavo. That's what the Yushami said. It's just that something happened, as you'll soon see, that shifted it into the section of Lushlaim Erecha. So we have to understand why it makes sense to be Yalav Yavo, and why and what happened and how it got pushed into Lushlaim Erecha. Okay? Is that anyone have any questions about that? Okay, good. There's another question from the Yushami. Another problem, which is that if you look at the Yushami, when are you supposed to say the tefillah? When do we say Mein Amora in general? Let's say it's Chol HaMoed Pesach. Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys. If it's Chol HaMoed Pesach, when do we say Mein Amora? Right, when do we say Yalav Yava? Which tefillahs? Anyone? And we'd say, okay, that's the section, right? But I want to know, in other words, Shacharis Min Chamarit, right? We say it in every tefillah, correct? So if we say Yalav Yavo in every tefillah, right? Why don't we say Nachim in every tefillah? The Yushami clearly indicates that's a Me'inam Ora, and it should be said in Mariv, in Shacharis, and Mincha. Okay, what kind of thing is it to only say it in Mincha? That's what we do today. Where'd that come from? Where did this idea come from to say it only in Mincha? Okay? And if you look at the second, the sources 2, 3, and 4, you'll see that that's not my question, okay? Look at source number 2. So this is the first thing we'll deal with is the shift into Lushlaim Erecha. So the Rif basically says, he quotes the Gemara Yerushalmi, and if you look at the fourth line, which I underline, he says, V'nahagi alma lememra b'mon Yerushalayim. Okay? And so this goes, you're talking about basically after, I'd imagine in the Gaonic period, as you'll soon see from the Avodram, in the times of the Gaonim, there was a clear machlokus about where this was located. Okay? Even though Yerushalmi said to put it into Yalav Yavo, it seems like the Minog, right? The Minog Olam. It doesn't seem like it was a Takana by Chazal. It seems like this Minog emerged where people shifted it into Lushlaim Erecha. Okay? And what do they, now, but the Rif is good. The Rif says, what do they rely on? V'samchi ahai, d'am Rabbi Yehuda b'rei Rav Shmuel, bar Shilas m'shmei d'rav, af al pish amru shol, adam tzracha b'shmei tfila, imba lomar b'sof kol bracha, m'ein osa bracha omer. Anyone know what that means? Anyone take a shot at that? What is that principle? Anyone? What's that principle? Right. So let's take Rifa'inu Hashem Nerfe. Okay? So Rifa'inu Hashem Nerfe, what are you allowed to do? What can you definitely do? You can add in a bakasha about a specific person who's sick. Right? So since that's true, right, what was the rationale of the people? Okay, why do they shift Nachim from Yalav Yavo into Lushlaim Erecha? Why did they make that move? Right, because they're going to obviously say that it sounds like it's thematically tied to the bracha. I mean, think about it. Lushlaim Erecha Barachamim Tashu, V'sishka Masocha Kasher Yibarta, right? V'chisei Dove Merel L'socha Tachin, right? Uvnei Osabe Karobim in Alam. So that's talking about basically the destruction of the city of Yerushalayim. So doesn't Nachim belong in that tefillah? Isn't that exactly where it belongs? Right? I mean, it fits in perfectly to the theme of Yerushalayim Erecha. Right? So let me ask you. Okay, so you're coming with an agenda. I get it. You're right about Mikdash. You're right. The fact is, I phrase the question differently. If it seems like it fits into Lushlaim Erecha, why would Yushami suggest it belongs in Ritzeh? Right? Again, originally it was in Ritzeh. And then at some point in time, the people shifted it into Lushlaim Erecha. You know what I mean? Why? And now their justification sounds like a rational justification. In fact, you can even argue that maybe that's a better spot for it. Maybe it belongs in Yerushalayim Recha because the tefillah is talking about the destruction of Yerushalayim. Why not put it there? You know what I mean? All right? And if you look at sources 3 and 4, you see a similar thing. The Rambam says, Bimei Tainis, right? He says, Yachid says, Shamei Tefillah, right? And then he says, at the end there, he says, Betisha B'av, Mosifim Mibonei Yerushalayim, Rachim Hashem Alkenu, Alenu Ba'ayishal Mecha, Ba'ayishal Mecha, Ba'ayishal Mecha, Ba'ayishal Mecha, right? So what do you see from the Rambam? First of all, he does not at all get into mincha. He says basically, you say it three times, right? He doesn't make that differentiation. That's one. Two, notice he uses the word rachim instead of nachim. But again, we'll get back to that later. But according to the Rambam, it's clear that at his time, it was said in Bona Yerushalayim. It was said in Yerushalayim Yerucha. Okay? And the Miri also has that. The Miri says in source 4, he quotes the Gemara Yerushalmi, and he says, "Umikomakom nagu achshav l'chalo b'mona Yerushalayim." He says, the minog today is included as part of Bona Yerushalayim. Okay? And they justify it because thematically it's tied into the bracha of the bracha itself. Okay? So, yeah. So let's take a step back. So the first question I want to deal with is I want to know, why is this, what's this machlokas? Well, let's call it a machlokas. I mean, it's really, I don't know if it's really machlokas. I would argue it's really ideally supposed to be in Ritzay. And then the minhag became to put it into Yerushalayim Recha. So I'd like to understand each position, okay? I'd like to understand what's the idea of it being in Me'enam Ora, meaning in Yalav Yavo, and then what's the idea later on of it shifting to Yerushalayim Recha, and then the question is that it, in order to, in my opinion, in order to approach this properly, you must show why the paradigm is really Ritzay, and then while you can still fulfill whatever the idea of Nachim is in Yerushalayim, it's still not quite the same as Yalav Yavo. So that's the first question I want to I'd like to take up right now, before we get to the Zman Tefillah and all those other things. So what do you say? Anyone want to give a possibility? Does anyone not understand the question? Question like this. Question is that initially this was misakin to be included in Ritzay. Okay, that was the initial, that's what Yerushalmi says. The sages of yore said this is where the tefillah belongs. And yet what happened? A couple hundred years later, people decided to shift it from the tefillah from Ritzay and put it into Yerushalayim Recha. So first of all, what kind of thing is that? Okay, let's put that aside. You see that the Chachamim don't want to uproot that, they justify it. Okay? But then that's a strange thing. Where does it belong? Does it belong to Ritzay? Or does it belong to Yerushalayim? And I want to hear an argument. I want to hear an argument for both sides. And then why it will be a problem? Why didn't the guys in the Yerushalmi, they're smart guys, how come they didn't think about putting it to Yerushalayim to begin with? Why not put it there? And I think it was Kapil asked it. But we'll get back to Anino. Anino is also important. Anino is an important component of understanding this overall issue. So what do you say? Okay, good. Good. Okay. Right, okay, 1 second. Okay, good. So you're making a good step. Okay. But so that's good. I agree. But let's take a step back first, and then we're gonna apply what you're saying to really get this idea clear. So let me ask a simple question. I love asking these kind of questions because for some reason people get very uncomfortable when you ask like a very basic question. So what I'd like to understand is like this. I'll ask two really basic questions. Let's start with the first basic question, okay? And the reason why people get uncomfortable is because it's a very common thing, right? So every single day you say Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu Ba'amcha Yisrael V'Yisvil Asam, right? V'Hashevis Havodal V'Yervisecha. So what do you ask for? What are you asking for in Ritzei? You're asking for restoration of the Beis HaMikdash. And in fact, that's why Yalav Yavo belongs in there. Ya'alav Yavo is talking exactly about that idea, that the idea of Aliyah L'Regel and restoration of the system of Mikdash, right? Anyone want to challenge that assumption? I think it's a very safe assumption. That's exactly what the idea of Ritzeh is expressing, right? Okay? So if that's the case, so let me ask you this. But is Ritzeh a Bakasha? What? It sounds like a, doesn't it sound like a bakasha? It sounds a lot like a bakasha. So let me ask you a question. If it's a bakasha, why does it come after Shema Kalino? I'm sorry? Is what also bakashish? Great, it is also bakashish, but let's put that aside. That's also a good question, but that's not... All you're pointing out is that it turns out there's more than one bakasha ish tefillah after Shema Kalino. I agree. But what I want to know is, you're right, Sim Shalom is its own question. But I want to know is, why is Ritzeh where it is? It comes right after Shema Kalino, and yet it's a bakasha. We've kind of taken care of what? We have? Where do we take care of that? In Lushalayim Mircha. Oh, okay, fine, okay. So you want to posit Lushalayim Mircha includes some, I mean, it's more of an illusion, by the way, but includes some idea of that's true. We'll get back to that. So why mention Ritzeh at all then? Why have Ritzeh? What? I just want to know what is the essential idea of the tefillah of Ritzeh? I mean, Isaac, I think it was Isaac. Isaac's touching on that idea because he wants to say that the Ritzeh really is speaking about the loss of the Mikdash, right? But it's a funny thing. So, but we're asking for a restoration of the Avodah, and we're asking for that after we say Shema Kalenu. To me, it makes sense to put Ritzeh in. Let's say Yerushalayim Yercha, I would squeeze Ritzeh in somewhere over there, like between Yerushalayim Yercha and Etz Tzemach. Yeah, we don't do that. Why not? You know what I mean? So what do you say? Oh, yes. That's the approach. I agree. In other words, what you're going to have to say is that, first of all, we have to take two steps. Step one is that we have to reevaluate what we mean by bakasha. A bakasha doesn't mean the language of request per se. Because if that's true, then there'd be no way to place this where it is, right? It doesn't mean that. Bakasha, there is a certain format of what bakasha is, okay? Here, I think what you're saying is exactly correct. It would be inappropriate to exit the stage, the section of bakasha. It would be inappropriate to exit there not recognizing that the very bakasha that you were engaged in is inferior because the right method is through mikdash and karbanos. There's really the system was set up as a system of mikdash and karbanos. The way we daven today, this bothers people a lot, but the way we're mispiled today, Bitzibor, is not the ideal way of tefillah. It was set up because of the loss of the mikdash. But the truth is that that's not what we're supposed to mispiled today. We're supposed to mispiled, what do you call it, through the karbanos and through mikdash. So it would be inappropriate to leave the area of bakasha without at least acknowledging that the loss of mikdash means that this very system itself is an inferior system, that we need the mikdash. We need that mikdash to return back to what the system was supposed to be like. You understand? How come what? I don't know. Sim Shalom's a good question. That's a famous question. I can answer that, but that's not for this year. For now, let's just focus on Ritzeh, okay? So if that's the idea of Ritzeh, if Ritzeh was really set up because, and by the way, I don't know if you guys remember, I did this a couple years ago, but that's also that the Ron has that idea by Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. Okay, why do we say Hashem Sfasai Tiftach before we start Tefillah? So he alludes back to Tehillim, and he wants to say that if you look at these Pesukim and Tehillim, there's Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, and then I forgot it's a Pesuk before or afterwards, but anyway, he talks about how David HaMelech can't make use of the system of Karbanos, because David HaMelech was over in Isser B'Mezid, right? He was over an iser. He was over a prohibition on purpose. So when you're over an iser mezah, you can't use a system of karbanos. So he says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, all I have left are is my mouth. So similarly, the Ron says, before we start our process at tefillah, why was Hashem's Tzfasai instituted? To remind you that the very thing I'm about to engage in itself is not the ideal way of being a spala. That it's an inferior method of tefillah. That the ideal method is always karbanos. So I think Ritzei also reflects that idea. Ritzei is really telling you that you can't exit bakasha and enter into the next section of Hodah without at least some recognition of the fact that this is not the ideal method of tefillah. Okay? So if that's true, okay, so that's what I think Ritzei is. Okay, that's Ritzei. Okay? So if they put Nachem into Ritzei, what must you say at this point? This is, someone said this before right in the beginning. Are those Tucker, this is your thing. What must you say then? Right? In other words, if you agree that that's what the idea of Ritzei is, well, it's not even a question, it's obvious. It's pshita to say that Nachem belongs there. Because what's not, in other words, that's why they put it there. What must you recognize when you say Nachem? Nachem is part of the idea of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, right? So that's why it belongs in the section of Ritzei. Ritzei is talking about how we're lacking Mikdash. So where does this tefillah belong? It should belong in the section of Ritzei as well, right? That would make perfect sense why initially that's where it's put, right? Okay, so now let's swing to Vilushalayim Ircha. Let's take a look at Vilushalayim Ircha. Now, what do we say in Vilushalayim Ircha? Let's talk about that tefillah for a second. We say Vilushalayim Ircha Barachamim Tashuv. Okay, right? V'sishkom Besocha Kasher Yibarta. Okay, so let's break that down. So you have Vilushalayim Ircha Barachamim Tashuv, right? So what are we asking God? We're asking Kadosh Baruch Hu to have. I'm gonna get out the actual lashon. Yeah, we're talking about the city of Yerushalayim, right? The city of Yerushalayim that Kadosh Baruch Hu and His mercy should return. Okay, now it's interesting. What do we mention? V'sishkom Besocha Kasher Yibarta. And that's going to be a key point there. But what is V'sishkom Besocha? What's that really talking about? Yeah, okay, and when we talk about Shekhinah, what are we referring to? Usually. Beis HaMikdash, right? So we're saying, in this tefillah, we're saying that we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to, His Shekhinah to be present in Yerushalayim. Right, and then what's the other thing you mentioned in the tefillah, in this bakasha? Oh, that's a good question. We'll get back to that. I asked the question initially. That was an initial question, right? This has no reference to Beis HaMikdash, right? We'll get back to that. We're going to have to answer that too. Let's pretend for a second. Let's pretend that this is the right way to approach it. Trust me. Let's pretend for a second that the tefillah of Nachem only talks about the Beis HaMikdash, just for now, okay? Or that there's an obvious idea of Beis HaMikdash in there. Because you have to make that assumption, or else it doesn't make sense why they would put it in Ritzei. You understand? That's a good question. We're gonna take that up in just a couple more minutes. But I want to just understand, what is the tefillah of Yerushalayim talking about? So that seems to be talking about two things. It's talking about the restoration of the Shekhinah, right? Which sounds kind of Beis HaMikdash-y. And the other thing is, V'chisei David, Meir Osoch HaTochin. What's that talking about? Malchus, right, Malchus, okay? So if I ask you, let's just make that a little clearer. So what are the two components of Yerushalayim according to the way the Chazal set up the tefillah? It sounds like... It's in my sitter here, it's right over here. I'm not sure. There's an interesting Aruch HaShulchan which we'll take up at the end. That talks about that. But let's work with this, okay? So if we mention the Chisei David and we mention the Shekhinah, so you would argue, you'd make a simple argument. You'd say, what's this field talking about? It's saying that there's two components to the city of Yerushalayim, right? There's the, for lack of a better term, the spiritual component, the idea of the Shekhinah, which is certainly centered around Mikdash, and there's the idea of Malchus, right? And when those two components are together, right, then Yerushalayim functions as Yerushalayim. Right, meaning that is the complete expression of what Yerushalayim is supposed to be. So if you're lacking one of the two, you'd argue there's a psul in the expression of Yerushalayim. Right? Does anyone have a problem with that? just a simple explanation. There's nothing deep in there. It's just trying to understand what the tefillah means. So it sounds like the tefillah is expressing there's two components to Yerushalayim. One component is the idea of the hashgacha, which I'd argue is manifest through the mikdash. And the other idea is the idea of malchus, which is basically the idea of sovereignty and a certain koach of what do you call it, of Bnei Yisrael, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I mean? Right? That's a good question. That's about talking about Yeshua and Mashiach. Okay? That's a good question. But whatever. Remind me about that at the end. The Aruch HaShulchan has a different way of looking at Yerushalayim Recha and Eset Tzemach. But for now, let's just stick with Yerushalayim. So it would seem like that those two things are the expression of, those are the two components of Yerushalayim. Oh, so if I ask you that, so why would they stick Nachim in the Yerushalayim then? Before we get to why Nachim doesn't mention Mesa Mikdash, why would it make sense, so to speak, to put Nachim in the Yerushalayim Recha? Well, wouldn't it depend on what you're focusing on? In other words, if the focus of the... And this is, I think, where... I'm not going to call it an error because the Rif and the Rambam seem to endorse it. But if I want to... But there is something not quite as ideal as Ritzeh. If the focus of Yerushalayim is Mikdash, if that's what we mean by Yerushalayim, and yes, I know Nachim doesn't mention that, so we'll get to that. But if the focus of Nachim is really about Mikdash, then the only place it could be is in Ritzeh. Okay? If the focus of Nachim is really about the city as like a phenomenon of the city, then you're right. It should go into Yerushalayim Recha because Yerushalayim Recha is really talking about the destruction of the city per se. So one way to look at Yerushalayim, one way to look at the city of Yerushalayim is only through the lens of Mikdash. Another way to look at Yerushalayim is to look at Yerushalayim as like a city whose identity is tied to these two components, to the component of Shechina, meaning the Hashgacha, and the component of Malchus. So what I would argue at this point is that I would argue that maybe the rationale of the people is that they're not looking at Yerushalayim solely through Mikdash, right? They're looking at Yerushalayim, meaning that Yerushalayim is synonymous with Mikdash. Rather, what they're saying is that Mikdash is a component of Yerushalayim, right? And if you look at Mikdash as a component of Yerushalayim, meaning the city can have an identity, its full identity is expressed through both Mikdash and Malchus, so then it belongs to Yerushalayim Recha. And that could be part of the reason why the minhag became to shift it into Yerushalayim Recha. Okay, I'm not defending it insofar as saying it's the right way. I'm just saying at least I can understand the rationale for why it shifts from Ritzeh into Yerushalayim Recha. If it's in Ritzeh, the only thing you're talking about is Mikdash. And as someone just asked before, and yet the Tefillah Nachim doesn't include anything about the base of Mikdash. So if you're talking about the average person, if the average person looks at this tefillah, what he's going to say is, what the heck is it doing in a Ritzeh? It doesn't belong there. It belongs in Yerushalayim Recha. But it's all the question of how you look at the term or the concept of Yerushalayim. If Yerushalayim is synonymous with Beis HaMikdash, it could only be in Ritzeh. But if Yerushalayim is the name of a city, so to speak, right, and there's two components that give the city its fullest identity, which would be through Shechina and through Malchus, then it belongs to Yerushalayim Recha. Okay, or I'd even go further, and I'd even argue that the very lack of emphasis of Beis HaMikdash in this tefillah is a very powerful rationale for why people would move it, so to speak, from Ritzeh into Yerushalayim Recha. You know what I mean? Does anyone have a question about that? As I always say, no, we're not moving anything. You see that the Rambam has it in Yerushalayim Recha, but I want to just clarify. But I don't want to say that. You can't push me to that corner. But it certainly seems like that's why Chazal originally set it up. They set it up to be in Ritzeh. That's where it belongs. Okay. I'm sorry, one more time? What do you mean do people view it differently? I would say like this. It seems like I can't prove... I'm sorry? I don't know. I'm not sure. Was it a nowadays change? This change happened. It sounds like the change happened. It can't be more than a couple hundred years after Steam, certainly after the Ushami was written, because the Rif cites it. And it sounds like the Rif says this is the normal Minog, meaning that when Nachim was first written, I can only speculate on what happened. When Nachim was first written, they put it into Ritzeh, right? And then it seems like what happened was is that as people, I'm not sure, I can't pinpoint the exact moment in time, but as people got their hands on this tefillah, somehow it made its way into Yerushalayim Yerucha, because they said it doesn't make sense to put it there. It makes sense to put it in Yerushalayim Yerucha. I mean, the Rambam doesn't even mention that's a problem. When the Rambam's bothered by a minog, he'll say the minog is to put it in Yerushalayim. He doesn't say that. He says this is where it goes. But you see, the Meiri says Mikomakom Nagu Achshav. Nagu Achshav to me means that that it became the minog, right? The minog is to what he called to the minog, and also the Nahagi Alma according to the Rif. That implies that it wasn't a takana. It wasn't like the Rabbanim got together and said, you know what, the Yerushalmi was wrong, so to speak, and we're going to shift it into Yerushalayim Ercha. Rather, it sounds like that the Minog became, people started putting the Yerushalayim, and the Chachamim, or at least the great people like the Rif and the Rambam, they had no interest in usurping it. They could understand, they found a halachic justification for why it should be into Yerushalayim Ercha, because it fits in thematically. But again, what we have to answer is, why did we originally want to put in a Ritzeh? So what I want to argue is that I would argue that because it's lacking in there's only so far I can go with this idea, but because I would argue, I think someone asked that before, because it's lacking the overt mention of Beis HaMikdash, I think it's part of the problem. I think that's part of the reason why people ask the question today about the fact that what do you mean Yerushalayim is built up, because they're not in the tefillah doesn't mention anything about the Beis HaMikdash, right? So if it belonged in Ritzeh, so maybe we can answer that question now. If it belonged in Ritzeh, why didn't they mention anything about the Beis HaMikdash in there? Mention the Beis HaMikdash? Isn't that exactly what Tisha B'Av is all about? We're not mourning the destruction of Jerusalem. That's a factor. We're mourning the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, right? The Kiddos talk about it. I mean, I'm not saying there isn't any mention of destruction of Yerushalayim, but if I were to pick the Me'ena Ma'ora, which is really that which expresses the theme of the Yom, why would the Chazal not put in there the words Beit HaMikdash? I think that's a fair question to ask. You know, they're talking about the city, right? I hear that, but they still could have put the words, there must be some reason, you're right, I'm not intrinsically disagreeing with you, I'm just saying, I still think that they could have put in there some mention of the Chorban. Say Ha'ir, the Beit HaMikdash, okay? But I'll tell you what I'm thinking. If you saw that little piece by, yeah. Because Yerushalayim Yerucha is going to say this, they're going to say, there's no overt mention of Beis HaMikdash in Nachim, right? Nachim's talking about the destruction of Yerushalayim. So thematically speaking, where does that belong? Well, it belongs in the very Bakash that talks about the destruction of Yerushalayim. Because they're looking at Yerushalayim, that's one way to look at Yerushalayim is simply, it's this great capital city. In other words, I'll give you an example. It's like this. It's like certain things define a city, right? Like, let's say Washington, D.C. D.C. is defined by the White House and the Capitol, right? That's what gives a city its identity, right? So they're saying the same thing here. The city lacks its identity as Yerushalayim without the Beis HaMikdash, meaning the Shechina, and Malchus. So this tefillah of Nachim, since it only mentions the ear, it doesn't mention Mikdash, that's where it belongs. It belongs because it's talking about the city of Yerushalayim. Hold on, one second. I agree with you. Let's just make that step in a second. But I would say that it's. I'm just saying I understand to some degree why it was put into the Yerushalayim Ercha. Okay, but hold on. What you're saying is a good point, because let's look at that thing by the Rav. Okay, so the question I started off at the beginning, which I said is a very popular issue, and you can look it up online. It's like 25 everyone has like certain justifications of why we still say it or why we shouldn't say it anymore. But again, the question is, why do we say nachem today? So the Rav had a very simple answer. The Rav actually had two answers, okay? First, he wants to say that that we don't want to... This is in the Misora page, which is, I forgot which page number it is. But anyway, he wants to say that, first of all, we can't change what Chazal instituted. Now, that I'm not such a huge fan of, because the fact is that tefillah itself has evolved. Haraya, it first was Rachim, and then became Nachim. And then, actually, some sheet just hold, you say Rachim for Maariv and Shacharis, and switch to Nachim for Mincha. So I'm not so like bothered by the Girsa thing, because this tefillah seems very amorphous. And there's some people today... postgame today within the Tzioni world who actually say that you have the right to go ahead and change the girsa privately, right? I don't understand the svara behind that, but that's what they want to say. But what he says is like this. The second answer is fascinating. He says, this is va'od. If it was in the paragraph which says, b'inyan amiras nachem, he says, va'od amar shekol zman shemikdash charav, af shiushalayim benuyo of Yad Yisrael. So as long as the base of Mikdash is destroyed, even if Eretz Yisrael's and Yerushalayim is built up, okay? Nonetheless, Yerushalayim is still thought of as being in a state of destruction. Why? So the Rambam equates, to some extent, the Kedusha Yerushalayim to Kedushas Mikdash. Right? So he brings in a case by Yantov. Right? Where we see that, though, we see that there's an idea of Kedushas Yerushalayim, right? Even, what's a raya for that, by the way? Can anyone give me a proof, an example, other than what the heat brings? Give me an example of Kedushas Yerushalayim. Oh, that's a good example. Good. Or Maaser Sheni, right? That can only be, that's eaten the walls of Yerushalayim. So there is some idea of Kedushas Yerushalayim. So listen to this. This is the key point. So Lachem Pasak Rambam, the Kedushas of Mikdash Yerushalayim Ena Betela, right? The Havei Bnei Ashrina. The Kavanasa, what does he mean? The Yerushalayim Hu Chelak Me'a Mikdash, right? Ulachem Kolzman Shem Mikdash Charav Af Yerushalayim Nechsheves Kechareva. So the Rav wants to say that what is the idea? That Yerushalayim is really a component of the base of Mikdash. Okay? So what's he trying to say? So I think this point by the Rav is an opening into understanding what the why Chazal don't really focus on the base of Mikdash and nothing. And there's gonna be like a kind of like a bizarre irony, I think. In the idea of why they did not include the base of Mikdash, right? Why they wrote it the way they did, and the fact that it got moved into Yerushalayim Erecha. So what would you say? What's the nature of the relationship between Yerushalayim and the base of Mikdash? So what would you say? Okay, so let me ask you a question. Good. Let me ask you this. It's a funny thing. So If you look at other religions, right, sometimes what's done is that a temple, right, the makom, so to speak, the place where to worship the deity. So where would they build that? Quite often, where would that be built? So a lot of times it'd be built away from a city. What? Right. Okay. So what? So why? There's what's the idea of it being part of the city? You're right. So what's that idea though? Well, you got to be careful. So yes and no. In other words, you're right to some extent. But for example, the very notion of a Beis HaMikdash itself is absurd because you can't have a makom that contains God. That's ridiculous, right? In fact, there's a Gemara There's a Gemara that talks about this tension that David HaMelech had with the very, very building the Beis HaMikdash to begin with. He said, like, this is crazy. How can you possibly focus, so to speak, the Shechina into one makom? That doesn't make any sense. It's an absurdity, right? So basic mikdash is a compromise, right? It's a compromise. But there is an idea, right? V'asulim mikdash v'shachanti b'socham, right? There's an idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tzivui is to build a basic mikdash. And what's going to emerge from the building of the basic mikdash is an idea of the Shechina not just being in the mikdash itself, but sort of, I'm not trying to be overly anthropomorphic about it, but in a sense, there's a reflection of the idea of the Shechina not just in the mikdash itself, but in the city. That the ear reflects the idea of v'shachanti b'socham. Because right? On the one hand, so it's an interesting thing, there's a tension. On the one hand, the Beis HaMikdash is not accessible to the average person, right? It's not. The average Jew can't, what relationship does he have to the Beis HaMikdash? Minimal. Aliyah LeRegel, right? and let's say a couple of korbanos here and there. But outside of that, he's removed. He can't go inside, right? So the one in the Beis HaMikdash as an institution is not really accessible to the average Jew. But there is an idea of the Shachanti Besocham that expands beyond simply the Beis HaMikdash, that the city of Yerushalayim itself reflects that identity. You know what I'm saying? In other words, what I'm saying is that the idea of a Shachanti Besocham, yeah. What aspect of Yerushalayim specifically are we referring to? The city. Well, I'll put it this way. If you want like what I'd say Yerushalayim in a sense reflects, it's like the Midbar, the way the Mishkan was set up. In other words, you had the Mishkan in the center, and you had surrounding the Mishkan, people lived, right? So on the one hand, it wasn't like the Mishkan was set up like on a mountain or like, let's say, miles away from the Jewish people, and they had to go hunt down the Mishkan. Rather, the Mishkan was always like it was always in the middle, and the people were surrounding it, sort of like giving off an imagery of, yes, the Mishkan is, you can't go in, but it doesn't mean that the Shechina, so to speak, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha is simply focused on one makom. There's an idea that you have a tziruf to the Beis HaMikdash. And I'd argue through the location of the Mikdash relative to the Machaneh, as well as here, the idea of Yerushalayim as a city, right, its relationship to the Mikdash, I'd say that is the tziruf that people have to the Mikdash. Let me just make one more point, and you'll see what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to get at is that I think when people think of Yerushalayim, or certainly what Chazal thought when people think of Yerushalayim, is that when you think of Yerushalayim, for the average person, they associate Yerushalayim merely with Beis HaMikdash. In other words, since the idea of Shachanti B'Socham is really a concept of expanding the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship to beyond just that building, but to the city itself. The city reflects the idea of a Shachanti B'Socham. I'd argue that the average person relates to the Mikdash through Yerushalayim. That's how we see. In other words, when a person says, "Hey, I'm going to Yerushalayim," what does he mean? Mikdash. In other words, in a sense, and I think that's what the Rambam means when he equates the, on a philosophical level, when he means by equating the idea of Kedushas Yerushalayim to Kedushas Mikdash, or what the Rav means by Chelek Mikdash. I think it's Chelek Mikdash, and why there's certain halachas that are expressed in the city of Yerushalayim, because I think that's the way the average person relates to it. The average person doesn't. In other words, the temple is part of the city itself. It's part of the very tapestry of the city, right? And therefore, that's how you identify with the Beis HaMikdash, through Yerushalayim. You use the term Yerushalayim as a reference point for the Beis HaMikdash. They're not one and the same. It's that there's a way, in order to reflect the idea of an expansive Shechina, that there's a presence of God even beyond, so to speak, that building, that there's an idea of that people should recognize that there's a role they have to play in the Beis HaMikdash, that's what you use Yerushalayim for. Yerushalayim serves that purpose. It's the gateway. It's how a person would relate to the Mikdash. Because he's never going to the Beis HaMikdash. He goes there so rarely, and he can never go inside. So as far as he's concerned, on the one end, the temple is part of the city. On the other hand, it's distinct. It's a very strange universe. So we don't want to look at it as being discrete from the city. It's part of the city. So, but I'm saying that's how the average person, I think, relates to it. When a person thinks of the ear of the city, and I'll give you a perfect example. Okay, let's talk about the inverse. Okay, could imagine a situation where the city's destroyed, but the temple's intact. You know what I mean? So I think that's the nafkamina between the two ways of learning. In other words, one person would say, well, as long as the Beis HaMikdash is still there, so we know that there's a Hashgacha present, yeah, so we're lacking a component, a chelek of the Mikdash, but the Mikdash is still there, okay? But the other way to look at it is to say that, if the city of Yerushalayim is destroyed, they're missing that component of Malchus, let's say. So we only have one of the two components, and therefore Yerushalayim is lacking in its identity. You know, it's like a qualitative psul. But I don't think that's what the Rav is saying. I think the idea here, and that's why it belongs in Ritzeh, is because I think the idea is that really it really is talking about Mikdash, but it's not synonymous. The Rav is saying it's a chelek. What I think what he means is that the average person when they think of Mikdash, they see it through the lens of Yerushalayim. That's how a person relates to it. He relates to it through Yerushalayim. So I think that's why they wrote the tefillah that way. Because that's how the average person talks. The average person, when they think of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they look at it through the glasses of Yerushalayim. That's the expression of the destruction of the Mikdash. You know what I mean? So I think that's the reason why they wrote the tefillah the way they did. Because they were trying to look at This is the way the Hamon, this is the way the average person relates to the Beis HaMikdash. He sees it through Yerushalayim. Because Yerushalayim is really in a sense, that's reflective of the idea of V'shachanti B'socham. B'socham, among you. That's, the city reflects that idea. You understand? Of being in the city where, the same way, I'll go back to my Washington, D.C. example. It's like when you're in D.C., right? You're in the capital of America, right? And I'd argue that, in a sense, where's the White House and Capitol located? Let's just make them the one and the same. They're located in D.C. So even if you're not at the actual, you can't go into the White House or the Capitol. I mean, you're not really, you know, you don't really go in there. But there's an idea that when you think of D.C., right, the very notion of D.C., what that means to you is really just another way of saying the seat of power in America. Okay? That's not the city, right? That's the White House and the Capitol. You just use the city name to convey that idea. So I'm saying similarly here, that's what's going on over here. You understand? One idea is to say that, it's a subtle point, but it's a critical point. One idea is to say that the very identity of the city is dependent on two components. Another way is to say that when a person says the city name, what he's really referring to is something else. It's just that's the colloquial way of referring to it. You don't talk about the White House and the Capitol. You talk about D.C. Washington, D.C. is the seat of power. So too, when I say Yerushalayim, I'm referring to Yerushalayim in the context of Mikdash, because that's how I relate to Mikdash. I relate to it through Yerushalayim. So that's what I mean by seeing it through that lens. Is that a little clearer? Right. Okay. Fine. Right. Okay. Right. Right. Okay. But I think if you want to say this approach, then it makes sense why it belongs in Ritzeh. Okay. Because even though it doesn't mention the specific Chorban, but the fact is that since the way you relate to Mikdash is through Yerushalayim, that's the way the average person relates to it. And of course, it belongs in Ritzeh because that's talking about the restoration of the Mikdash. But that's why I was saying before there's an irony here, because this is complete speculation. But it could be that in the very attempt to write the tefillah in a manner that would appeal to the average person, that they thought the average person would relate to it as Yerushalayim vis-a-vis the Mikdash, it turns out that was incorrect. And that when the tefillah was written this way, people looked at it as Yerushalayim, like the other way we're learning, which is that is really that there's two components to Yerushalayim, and the city itself lacks a certain identity as long as the Mikdash isn't built, right? But that's a din in producing the reality of Yerushalayim. But if that's true, if that's the way you look at it, then I'm not so sure. Then the argument to put in Yerushalayim Mircha, then it makes sense why they put in Yerushalayim Mircha. But then I see the arguments for saying it today as, you know, like, I understand why people would be more bothered by it. But if you look at the other way of learning, that it belongs in Ritzeh, the way we're saying now, then it has to be Ritzeh, and of course you would say it today. Because the only reality of Yerushalayim is through Mikdash. It's just another way of referencing Mikdash. It's the way the average person references Mikdash. Yes. Right. Which is a good question, by the way. It is. When I was preparing this with Rindy, well, that question came up. That's a good question. It's an interesting question. How come there's nothing? The only reference to it is Vesishka Mesocha Kasheribarta. Which itself, in other words, I'm making a move to say that implies Mikdash as well, right? But that's a very good question. It's a good question. How come? I mean, you have Ritzeh, right? But there's never an overt request for the actual base of Mikdash to be rebuilt. So whatever, some of the Mefarshim do take that up. I think the Emishpat takes it up. The Eitz Yosef, one of those guys in the Otsret Philos. But it's a good question. But that's not our question, okay? Our question is, why belongs Ritzeh? Why nothing? Feel nothing. Why it belongs where it is. Okay? One other point. Does anyone have any questions about that? Is that clear? Okay. One other point. I think someone mentioned the tefillah of Aneinu. Aneinu is also weird because where does Aneinu go? First of all, it's machlokas in the Gemara about where Aneinu goes. Does it go in after Re'ena of Aneinu, or does it go in Shema Kaleinu? It's very odd the way we paskin today. We paskin the Shat says it in Shmona Es in after Re'e, before what do you call it? Before Refa'enu. And yet what the Yachid does is he always says it in the Shema Kaleinu only by Menchatan. I'm not getting into the logistics behind that, but at the very least, there is a difference. Why is Aneinu in Bakasha, right? Whereas Nachim's not. Right. Let's put aside the Yerushalayim Erecha. In other words, Nachim today is in Yalav Yavo. That's not normative bakasha. That's recognizing that we're lacking mikdash. But if you look at the tefillah of Aneinu, it's interesting. Aneinu is an actual bakasha, right? Because we're saying we want a kadosh baruch. Because unfortunately, we're a little biased. The tefillah of Aneinu or the idea of Tainas Tzibor is really related initially to the idea of no rain, right? So there, we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, God, please help us in this time. Aneinu Hashem, right? Beyond Tzom Ta'aniseinu, right? Help us in our, answer us in our present time of need, okay? We say that same tefillah when it came to the minog of having these, of having a tainus. There's a regular tainus, meaning, I shouldn't say that, a tainus of mikdash, which is what we have today, right? The four ta'anios plus Tisha B'Av, right? So those ta'anios we have today, so those we say Aneinu on, because that's the formula that came up for the regular Tainus Tzibor. You understand? But that Bakasha is talking about a pressing need right now, right? Was we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change the Hashgacha. That's not what happens by Nachem. If you look at the Lashon of Nachem, Nachem isn't asking for a massive change in Hashgacha to change our state. It's simply asking God to, we'll get to that in a second, but to have mercy on us, to recognize the fact that that we're sitting in the state where the city is lying in ruins. Okay, so I'm going to explain that point in a second. But any other questions before I move to the next point? They're good. So let me ask you this. So what's the difference between saying Rachim and Nachim? This isn't an integral part of what I want to get across, but it's a nice point. What's the difference between saying Rachim and Nachim? Are they different? Is this a girsa change? And like I said, some sheet this whole, you say Rachim by Shacharis and Amarev and Shacharis, and then you say Nachim by Mincha. So what's the difference between the two Lashonos? What would you say? My God, we say this stuff all the time. Sad. Disappointing. What do you say? Okay. Right, so it's tempting. Right, it's tempting to go down that road, but then I don't like that, because then what you're positing is that they're two completely different terms. I don't think that's true. See, I think the idea is that Rachim is a generic idea, which really is that we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we need a reprieve from the din that he's imposed upon us, because we can't handle what he's done to us due to our state of chet. In other words, when you're asking for Rachim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's an implicit admission that we're chotim, and that we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy. We can't handle the din. The din's not working for us, right? But I would argue that Nachim, that Nechama, I would say is a subcategory of mercy. Whereas I think it's just a furthering, a more specific subcategory of Rachamim itself. And I think, because look at the difference. When is a classic example of Nechama, right? When do you give someone Nechama? What? Yeah, when someone dies. Because you have this overwhelming tragedy that it's so extreme, you don't even know how to approach it, right? So that's a furtherance of the idea of Rachamim. Rachim means that we can't handle the din. We need to a change in the din, because we can't handle pure din. We need midas rachamim, and that means there's a recognized state that we're flawed. But I'd say nechama is further. Nechama is saying it's within rachamim, but it's saying it's an extreme type of reprieve. It's saying that we're so overwhelmed with emotion and this tragedy is so horrific that we can't take it, you know. And that's okay. So that's what I want to say. The difference between rachim and nachim is, I don't think nachim is a different term. Because then it gets to a very serious question, in my opinion, a serious girsa question. I want to maintain that Nachim is really a subcategory of Rachim. And if it's a subcategory of Rachim, then it's not really that much of a girsa change. You know what I mean? You can ask why one's preferred over the other. Fine, we'll get to that in a second by Shacharis Mincha Maariv. But that doesn't bother me so much. I can see it more. I can see it as a minor, a more minor issue if you're just saying that one's like a is subsumed underneath the other one categorically. Okay. Any questions on that? All right. Maybe. Could be. That could be. I'm not sure. But hold on to that, because watch when we get into the question of Mincha, that's going to come up. So check. I don't know. That's a good question. That's funny, because the Rav seems to be against not saying, not changing Nachim, but he himself said Nachim, which wasn't the original Girsa. The original Girsa was Rachim. So I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know how to answer that. That's a good question. I'm not sure. All right, so take a look at this. Okay, take a look at source 5 and 6, okay? So source 5, this is an interesting thing. So this is the other main issue, which is that which tefillah you say it in. Why would we only say it in Mincha? What kind of thing is that? If this is really Me'ina Ma'ora, and the theme of the day is really Tisha B'Av, so why do you say it in every tefillah? What kind of thing is it to only say it in Mincha? That's bizarre, right? It doesn't make any sense. And we do say Aneinu in every tefillah. At least the Shatz does. So why by Tisha B'Av we only say, we only say by Mincha? So the Avodah Ram quotes the Machlokas Gaonim, and Rav Amram says you say it in all three, and Sajid Gaon says you only say it in Mincha. So this argument goes back to the times of the Gaonim. It's a big Machlokas, okay? But I would argue that the burden of proof is on Rav Sajid Gaon, because why would you say it by Mincha time, right? And if you look, the Rush, he says, in the underlying part, he says, all my days I never understood, Lama Nagush in Omrim Nachim Elav Tfilas Mincha. Okay? Whoever said you only say it in Mincha. So the Rosh is bothered by this. He couldn't understand why the Minna came about to say it only in Mincha. Does anyone know why we only say it in Mincha, by the way, before we get to the reasons given? Anyone take a shot at that? Anyone? I'm sure you guys have heard it before. Question is, why do we only say it in Mincha? There's a famous answer. There's two answers given, but one of them is very well known. I guess you guys don't know. Okay, take a look at source number 8. So the Bach says like this. The Bach says, he says, L'fi ani yazdaiti, da'kadmonim haisa kabbalah b'yadam. So you want to say the early scholars had a certain mesorah in their hands. Shelo tiknua elav mincha. Now that's a very courageous statement to make by the Bach. He's saying that all along there was a mesorah to only say in a mincha. Okay? Why? V'hu l'fi shetiknu lomar nachim li'spala al nechama. Because they were misakin to say nachem, meaning comfort, only on that which is to be comforted. Imkin, but listen to this. Imkin, but arvis v'shacharish hu kamisha mesa mutal lefanav ve'enu benachama ein lomar osa ela b'mincha. So the problem is that by marv and shacharis we're treated like what's mesa mutal lefanav. Anyone know what that is? Right, and let's say almost like an onin, by the way. Like an onin is not subject to comforting, but we're not even in a state to be subject to being comforted, right? So only time to say it would be by mincha. So that's one answer. So one answer given is that the only time to say this tefillah will be mincha time because we're not in a state to be comforted. Well, you do see that's true, but you do see the way they set up the day that there's stages. In other words, as you go into Tisha B'Av, you hit the lowest point of Avelis, and then even within Tisha B'Av itself, there's points where you slowly move out. So you could say that that's a time that you're moving out of Avelis. That doesn't bother me so much. That can be the very character of Tisha B'Av. I mean, but hold on to that. Look at number 9. The Beis Yosef gives Rav Sajigon's reason. He says, "V'nir Elisha Tam Rabbeinu Saja Mishum Dila Eis Erev Hitzisu Bo Eish." Okay? "Hilchach Be'osha Shah Mazkirin Shvelos Yushlayim V'Avileha Mispal Altan Chomea." So he gives a little bit of a different answer. He wants to say that historically, when did the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash actually take place? Right? What's he saying? When did it take place? It took place in the afternoon, right? In Mincha time, right? Leis Erev, close to the night, close to Shkia. But the point is, when did the actual fire that consumed the Beis HaMikdash take place? It took place Mincha time. So according to Rav Sajigon's way of learning, right? From a historical standpoint, when are you going to say nachem? You're going to say nachem when the actual destruction of the mikdash took place. Okay? So what's the machlokes? So one side wants to say that you say it in mincha time because by Shacharis, by Marav and Shacharis, we're like Mesa Mutal Lefanav, right? So it's only by the time of Mincha can we say we're subject to Nechama. Whereas the other side is going to say that no, that's at the point where we want to get it as accurate as possible. So it's only at the point where the Beis HaMikdash was actually destroyed, that's when you should say Nachem. Because that's when we need the Nechama, at that exact point in time. I mean, Sfaros Hafuchos? You mean Sfaros Hafuchos? Yeah, it's Hafuchosi. Yes, I'd agree with that. Right. So, well, one side, I think the Bach is a much easier side. The Sajjagon, I think, is a much harder side. Let me just get the Bach out of the way, because that's easy. The Bach is looking at it as a simple halachic idea. The Bach is saying that really it's supposed to be Marav, Shacharis, and Mencha. But there's a psul. The psul is Mesa Mutal Afanav. There's really that, you're right. It should be said in all three tefillahs. But he's arguing that the idea of Mesa Mutal Afanav presents a psul. It's like a halachic psul. It's a very simple idea. It's a halachic psul because the state that you're in prevents you from being able to say nothing. Right? So really, it is a Me'inim Ara. See, that's the key thing. It's a Me'inim Ara. Right, it just happens to be that there's a psul that doesn't allow you to express that meinam ora because of mesa mutal afana. Without getting to the whole idea of mesa mutal afana, but they treat you like an onen. They treat you like an onen. Your frame of mind is you have like, or listen, based on your question, right? I'll tell you the absurdity of your question. That's true. What about the fact of us being an avel? We're basically an avel on Tisha B'Av. Are we? We're not really an avelus, right? I mean, no one died. You know, I'm not a karov. No karov died, right? So, but they can do that. They can impose on a person a certain state of mind. And they're saying the state of mind that you're... It's not a din in the yom. What do you mean? Hold on, let me make sure I'm recording. I am, okay. What'd you say? No, but that's what it's saying. No, it isn't. It isn't. What it's saying is that the day has a multifaceted character to it, and that there's certain partners. Even though the day itself demands a me'inim aura on all three tefillos, your state, the state that you're in, creates a certain psul for you to be able to say this tefillah. That doesn't bother me so much. There's really. I mean, you know. I think you're harping on an issue that's not that important, but yes, they divide it into zones. The nature of the day is one of zones, but that doesn't bother me. It's saying that it happens to be the character of the day because of the nature of the morning and whatever. So a person goes through a certain trajectory the guy's on, right? So since he's on that trajectory, so that's the reason why he would, what do you call it? He would only say it by mincha time. But the key point I'm trying to get across is that he's not redefining how me'inim aura works. He's saying it is like any other me'inim aura. He's just saying that there's a certain defect that doesn't allow the guy to say the tefillah. That's easy. I'm sorry? I mean, I hear that. It's not like, it's just saying that there's a certain state of mind the guy is in that's going to prevent him. It wouldn't make sense for the guy to say Nachem at that point. But he's not a halachic, onen, because he was a halachic onen, he's not chayav to fast. You know what I mean? He's putter from all mitzvos. So you see, he's not really treated like an onen. I'm not sure. All I'm saying is that there's a certain, well, you know what? Let's do the other side. I think you can come back and see why I'm saying it for this. But let's assume you don't like the Bach. So how do you answer Sajjagon? What is Sajjagon talking about? What does that mean to say only mincha time? Because of that, that's the historical that's historically when it took place. What kind of thing is that? Since when do we care about that? Me'inim Ara means that this day is one called Tisha B'Av. Therefore, what do you have to do on Tisha B'Av? On Tisha B'Av, you have to what's it called? You have to mention every single tefillah. You got to mention Me'inim Ara. What kind of thing is it to say because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in this specific time? That's the time to say Nachem. We don't do that by other Me'inim Ara. We don't specify a certain, say, this is the ideal time to say it. And as you don't say Yalav Yalav on Chol Moed at the time that the B'nai Yisrael left Mitzrayim, you say it in every tefillah. It's part of the fabric of the day. So what kind of thing is it to say that? What kind of thing is it to say that you're only going to say mincha because that's the most accurate time of when the mikdash was destroyed? What kind of thing is that? How do you answer that? So what would you say? Anyone? That's true. Okay, I can't deny that. It is built around that. But okay, that's okay. But okay. But why should I care about that? I should say that it's true. But I'm just saying that you don't say that by other Yom Tov, for instance, by Shavuos, right? You don't say that this is the Zman that the Torah was given, so that's when I say Yalav Yava. You don't say that by other Main Amara. You don't say by other Main Amara that I'm gonna try to get the most accurate, specific point in time. No, I understand what you're trying to say. You're right. No one's questioning that historically speaking, or from the proper time to say this tefillah would be when the actual thing took place. We don't see that by other main amaras. So what makes this main amara different than other main amaras? That's what I want to know. Because it's you got to be careful. You're reformulating what main amara is now. So what would you say? See, I mean, think about it. It's interesting. You only say, according to this way of learning, you only say Nachem by Mincha, right? But what other tefillah do you say throughout the Yom? Aneinu, right? You say Aneinu. It's a good question why the Yachid doesn't say it at Mar. That's a separate question about Kabbalah Tainus, whatever. But the point is Aneinu is said in every tefillah. Aneinu exists in as part of the Me'in Amara. It's part of the Yom, right? We don't have this idea of only Mincha time saying Aneinu. We have an idea that the Shlich Tzibur says in the Shacharis also, right? So you see Aneinu transcends. Aneinu really fits into the Yom. So why am I saying that? What would you say? I understand that. I understand that completely. What I want to know, though, that's true, 100%. I just want to know, why do we say only, according to this, we say Aneinu every tefillah. Why would that help me in understanding why you'd only say Nachem in Mincha time? What would you say? Anyone else? No, so the what we do today is that the Shlich Tzibur says Nachem Mechaz Rosh Hashatz. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about that. Let's assume for now the right way. It's Pardesh for an Esrei. There's a technical reason why that we don't say it in the other tefillahs also. It has to do with we haven't finished our tainus yet, and there's only by mincha time that you can say that after chatzos you can now say that I've fasted long enough. That's like a technicality. But the point though is that really you should say it. There's really it was set up that it should be said in every tefillah. In other words, the way I'm trying to set this up is that according to the first way of learning, it really nothing should be said in every tefillah, but there's a certain psul that prevents you from saying it. The other way of learning is saying it was never set up to be said in every tefillah. It was only set up to be said in mincha. That's the way they set it up initially, to say it in mincha. That's the way Sadrigan is learning. He's learning all along was set up to only be said in mincha. But what kind of main amor is this? The first way is to say that because I'm Mesa Mutalafanov. Like a guy like, what do you call it? He's not in a state where he can be comforted. He's not in a state of mind he can be comforted. Okay, so that's not changing the definition of Minamara. That's keeping what Minamara is. It's just saying that there's a certain state of the Gava that prevents him, that precludes him from being able to say nothing. But that's not what Rav Sanjagon is saying. He's saying that all along it only belonged in Mincha. That's where it always belonged, in Mincha. Because of the historical thing. So what would you say? Tucker, you're very quiet. So I think you have to say it like this. I think you have to say that the Me'ein Amora of Tisha B'Av is different. Why is it different? What makes it a little bit different than other Me'ein Amoras? So let me ask you this. How did Chazal build Tisha B'Av? That's what I want to say. That's what I want to, halakhically. I think this is what Sanjagon thought of in the formulation of Tisha B'Av. How they built it. So what I want to argue is that maybe they built it like this. Maybe they really took the Tzura of Tainus, in other words, the idea of Tainus Tzibur, right? And that's really the essence of the day. The essence is really Tainus. But what's the theme of this Tainus? They took the theme of Chorban and they injected it into the idea of Tainus. Okay? If you say that, then I can understand what they did. Because according to Sanjagon, the Me'ina Ma'ora, there's actually two Me'ina Ma'oras here, right? But one emerges from the other. The essential Me'ina Ma'ora is really Tainus, right? That's the essential Me'ina Ma'ora. And that belongs in every tefillah. But it could be that they built Tisha B'Av off of the Me'ina Ma'ora of Tainus. In other words, Tisha B'Av, in a sense, is like an addendum or is the thematic expression of this Tainus. In other words, what gives this Tainus its identity is Tisha B'Av. So if Tisha B'Av is what gives this Tainus its thematic expression, then it's only at the time when the actual event took place that it makes the most sense to express that idea. You understand? In other words, it's really a Tainus, right? But the Tainus has a certain theme of Tisha B'Av. When is the theme of Tisha B'Av expressed? When the event took place. That's when you can give this Tainus the identity of being a Tisha B'Av Tainus. You understand? So it could be Versace going hell that they built Tisha B'Av, or I should say like the superimposed Tisha B'Av onto the pre-existing phenomenon or surah of Tainus. And that's why you'd only say it by Mincha. You understand? In other words, almost like to say that Tisha B'Av is a feature of this Tainus. So since it's a feature of the Tainus, when should it be expressed? It should be expressed at the time of Mincha. Because that's when the Beis Hamikdash burnt. But it's a Tainus. That's what its essential idea is, that it's a Tainus with a specific theme. So if it's a specific theme that's built off of the Tainus, I already have Me'ina Ma'ora of Tainus throughout the entire day. So I've expressed that. So since Tisha B'Av it's not an independent identity, it's really built into the fabric of the Tainus itself. So if that's true, then I can see a possibility of why you'd only say it by Mincha. Any questions about that? Come on, it can't be that easy. Yeah, no, it's like this. In other words, let's understand the machlokas. Machlokas is this a regular Me'ina Ma'ora, right? And it just happens to be that I'm unable to express the idea of Nachem, right, in Ma'ariv and Shacharis, right, to do some state of the Gavra. Or to say, no, this is a different kind of Me'ina Ma'ora. Now, what makes this Me'ina Ma'ora different? It makes it different because it's not an independent Me'ina Ma'ora. It's not like there's no independent reality of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is really a theme that was superimposed onto a pre-existing Tainus. So the pre-existing Tainus has a Me'ina Ma'ora, but the Me'ina Ma'ora of Tisha B'Av is really, since Tisha B'Av is really a thematic phenomenon that exists within the Tainus itself, so there's no need to express Tisha B'Av in every single tefillah. You only express it when that theme is ready to be expressed, which would be by Mincha time. In other words, if you're going to tell me that the essential theme of the essential idea of this day is really Tainus, it's really a day of fasting. It's a Tainus Tzibur, right? Like every other Tainus Tzibur, right? So that then you have to say Aneinot every tefillah. Okay? But they wanted to, but Chazal wanted to convey this idea of Tisha B'Av. They wanted this idea of the Churban to be expressed. So what do? They took the pre-existing form of Tainus, and they superimposed onto that the specific theme of Tisha B'Av. So in tefillah, when are you going to express the specific theme of Tisha B'Av? When the actual event took place. Because it's a specific theme. It's not a din in the yom of Tainus. It's a din in that a feature of this Tainus is Tisha B'Av. It's a feature of the Tainus. Mincha time. When the time, yeah, because that is a thematic expression of Tisha B'Av. Because it's a pasuk. Who cares? I don't know. The pasuk says so. It's a Masorah. The Masorah. It's a Masorah. Whatever. Chapter 7 or whatever history book you want to look at. I don't know. Who cares? The point, though, is that that's when they want to say it took place. So the answer of Rosajigon's position is he wants to say that it's a different type of Meinim Aura. Because it's not an independent Meinim Aura. It's a Meinim Aura built off of a pre-existing Meinim Aura. That's what I want to posit by Rosajigon. It's a tough approach, but I'm not sure how to explain why he's all of a sudden focusing on the historicity of the Mikdash burning. Who cares? Since when do we care about that when it comes to Meinim Aura? Is that clear? What prevents us from doing it throughout the entire day? Because that would tell you that the day is a day of Tisha B'Av. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not a day. It's not a yom of Tisha B'Av. It's a yom of Tainus that has superimposed onto it a theme of Tisha B'Av. You understand? It's not a me'inim aura of a yom. It's a me'inim aura of a theme. That's a different idea. But the problem with that. You mean like our Nihui Gavielos? That's a good question. I mean, your question is that why is it only by tefillah is this idea expressed, right? Because really, what should we do? We should party until mincha time, right? Right. It's a good question, it's a good question. But the bigger question you can ask is that why do we do any of these things? If historically speaking, the Mikdash wasn't burnt until, because then you could argue that it was under threat, you know, it was inevitable, whatever. It's a good question. I thought about that. It's a good question why we do these other, according to Sajjagon, it's a good question why we do these other Nihuge Avelis when the actual historical event didn't take place until the afternoon. There's really, what should Tisha B'Av be? Or when should the Avelis express itself? It should express itself then. But at the same time, I'd ask you, why do we have all these Avelis things that we do until they culminate with Tisha B'Av? So there's an idea that we're slowly putting ourselves into a deeper, deeper state of Avelis. But you're right. According to you, it's like it's inverse of what we do today. We should sit down on the ground, right? Take off our shoes and all that stuff. According to Sajjagon's way of learning, at Zman Mincha, I agree. But doesn't seem to be the case. Question of the Bach, okay. I don't know. Yes, it was the corrupted Nesara. I don't know. It seems like the Abud Ram is saying this, competing Nesaras. I have no idea. Look, to me, by the way, just for the record, wait a second. For the record, it makes so much more sense to me to say it in all three tefillahs. Because you have to come up with these creative answers. Meinim Aura means all three tefillahs. Right? I mean, isn't that the easier way to learn? So far, to me, it seems like it's easier to learn that it belongs in Ritzei. Right? And it also, it's easier to learn it should be said the entire day. You have to come up with all these chidushim to justify why it's only said by Menchatan. It's very strange. Right? Being Rachim to Nachim? I don't know. I'm not sure. That's a good question. I mean, it seems like it was originally Rachim, and then at some point in time it was Rachim, and then culminating in Nachim by Mincha, and then eventually we just got rid of Rachim, and we kept it as Nachim. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Let's take a look at one more thing, and then I'll answer any questions you guys have. I always like to bring in Aruch HaShulchan because he's such an innovative thinker. So he has a completely different approach, right? But kudos to how he pulls it off. So if you look at number 7, he says it is. He says, he's also bothered by what we're bothered by. He says, in mikol makom tzarich tam ich nase delo ki yerushalmi b'mash ein cholek alein aleil. So he wants to know, how is it possible that we moved the tefillah into Yerushalayim? How do we go against the Yerushalmi? How is that possible? He says, veneerly, that Inyan came, who... So I'll just summarize, because I don't have that much time. He says that basically there's a Tosefta. And the Tosefta initially took, as someone asked this before, but took Et Semach and Bon Yerushalayim and fused them together into one actual Bakasha. Okay? And the Yerushalmi quotes that also. The Yerushalmi seems to have looked at Bon Yerushalayim and Et Semach David as one bracha. Okay? Like he says, Ulfiza hayu elu shnei brachos bracha achas. Okay? So therefore, that's why they couldn't put, this is an amazing approach, that's why they couldn't put it into the Yerushalayim. So according to the Aruch HaShulchan, all along they wanted it in the Yerushalayim, but since the Yerushalayim and Es Tzemach were one tefillah, they didn't want to put it in there. Why? Right? Because he says, lo yabi cholos Yerushalayim in the talking of bracha, the nachamat siyan mikodem berchas Yerushalayim, came with the ban nizkar machos based David, uvenachem in remez lezeh. So the problem is that in Nachem, there's no idea of Malchus David. So it wouldn't make sense to put it in there. Okay? So he says, Lachem tiknu b'berchas ha-machus yishkenas l'tzion. Aval acharchach she-tiknu b'berchas et-semach b'racha f'nei atzma, u'berchas yushalayim ikar rak al yushalayim. Interesting. But since later on, now this is what you were saying before, Tucker, that they didn't, that Chisei David crept in later on. So you want to say, once they separated et-semach from yushalayim ircha, and therefore, as Semach is talking about Machus David, and Yerushalayim is really only talking about the city, in Kain Lama Nechra Ad Acharkach. So why would you wait to put it in until later on? Right? V'tov Yosra the Kadma. Okay? V'afa Gav D'gam Ata Nizkar B'Rechaz V'an Yerushalayim V'chisei David. Even though today, we do mention Machus David in Yerushalayim B'Recha. Mikol Makom Ikara D'Bracha Hi Al Yerushalayim. Nonetheless, the Ikar of the Bracha is really about the city. Mash Ein Kain Kish Hayushtei HaBrachas B'Yachad Hi Ikara Al Machus Beis David. But when they were together, the Ikar was really about Machus based on it. That's a wild approach. But basically, what he wants to say is that, but what's the basic idea that he's trying to approach? Is that trying to say? He's trying to say that all along, he wants to say that all along, what happened? That, the tefillah was originally set up to be in the section on Bakashas of Yerushalayim and Es Semach. And just that because they were fused together, that's why Chazal put it in there. Okay, but originally that's where they belonged. Originally, they wanted to put it in there, but just because of the emphasis on Machus David, they didn't feel it appropriate to put Nachem in there. But when they separated it out, then that's where it naturally should go into. It naturally defaults into Yerushalayim Ircha by it being divorced from Es Semach. Ah, but what about the fact that Yerushalayim includes Chisei David? Yeah, but that's like a minor thing. He kind of like poo-poos that and says, that's not really the essence of the bracha. So the Aruch HaShulchan also has a very innovative svara. He wants to say that it was never meant to be in Ritze. That was like the secondary position. It was always meant to be in the Yerushalayim Ircha. It's just they couldn't put it there. So that's like the exact opposite of what we're saying. I mean, I understand why he's doing that. It's a good rationale. But the way I'm approaching it is that it always belonged in Yerushalayim. It always belonged in Ritze. It's a main Amora. And it just happens to be that people, I mean, the Me'iri and the Rif seem to be saying that way, but the people were no hate to put into Yerushalayim Ircha. But he's not saying that. He's saying the opposite. He's saying that all along they want to be in Yerushalayim Ircha. You know what I mean? Right. Wait, hold on. Does anyone have any questions about that? Does that make sense? Well, no, right? So it's an interesting shot there, Rafa Shulchan. Someone just posted a question on here. Okay, so forget tefillin, because tefillin is a whole big question. That's a minug about when we put on tefillin. That's a big question about why we don't do it today. Actually, a lot of things are minhagim that we do. But he wrote here, as an owning at night and in the morning, we can't say nothing. That's the Bach's position. That's what the Bach holds. The Bach holds that since we're defined as an owning, we're incapable of, that's a psul, we're incapable of saying nothing. That's what Sajagon's saying. Sajagon's saying a positive idea. He's saying that historically, that's the moment when the Beis HaMikdash was actually destroyed. So that's where we have to ask for Nechama. So it's a good question about why the height of Avelis might be at that point in time. But I'm saying, but that's the Bach. The Bach is the one who says that basically, because we're in such a deep state of avelus, we can't say nachim until we're a little further out of that, which would be by the time of mincha. So it's an interesting thing. So what do you see from this whole thing? So let's putting aside the Aruch HaShulchan, it's an amazing thing, in my opinion. Because first of all, this originally was a Ritzeh. Okay, it seems that way. Even according to Aruch HaShulchan, that's where it belonged. Okay, I mean, he may say it's not the ideal, but it seems to, the simple reading of the Gemara is that's the ideal place, because that's the Me'ina Ma'ara goes. Me'ina Ma'ara goes either in Ritzeh or in Hodah, right? And that got moved. And that's a whole question of how you look at Yerushalayim. And then the second point is that, and therefore, based on that, I completely agree with the Rav. I don't see any rationale. Someone asked that before. I think Joe, you texted that to me. There's no reason to not say nachim today because Yerushalayim is built up. To me personally, is absurd. The Rav is 100% right. Even if you don't want to buy the svara of the idea of Yerushalayim being a chelak a mikdash, but at the very least, Yerushalayim is always lacking if there's no mikdash. When you're saying ira hareva, even if you want to hold the svara of there are two components to Yerushalayim, right? There's both the shechina aspect and the machos aspect. Yes, true, we have some idea of sovereignty and it's been built up, but who cares? As long as you know the base of Mikdash, Yerushalayim is always lacking. So the fact that people don't see any destruction, see that to me, not to be too cute, but that's what's so destructive. That people look at Yerushalayim today and think that since it's built up, that means it's not in a state of destruction. As long as there's no base of Mikdash, right? As long as it doesn't exist, of course Yerushalayim's in a state of destruction. So what? So people live there, there's cities, there's Ben Yehuda Street, there's restaurants. That doesn't mean anything. There's no value to that without base of Mikdash. There's no v'shachanti b'socham. That doesn't exist. Yeah, so it looks nice. It's aesthetically pleasing. And people live there. But that doesn't mean that we have an actual Yerushalayim to speak of. Until the Mikdash is built, there's no idea of Yerushalayim. And then there's just this idea about the Mincha, which is the strange machlokas. It seems like, to me, it seems to make a lot more sense to say it in every tefillah of the day. Because you don't have to come up with these creative answers of Remesa Muta Lafanav, or it's the historical, the accurate time is only Mincha time. All that stuff is very odd. To me, it makes more sense to say that that simply that we're, what do you call it, that really it's a main Ora. Therefore, the Yom itself, that none of this idea of tiniest than building Tisha B'Av off it, rather it's a din in the Yom. The Yom of Tisha B'Av, and therefore every single tefillah demands nothing. It's only the Rambam held that way. So it's a very weird, it's very strange that became the prevalent. You see, the Rosh is bothered by it. The Rosh is very bothered why it's only said in Mincha time. So even with the two answers given, it's still not, to me, it's not convincing. It's like you have to really be creative to justify it. To me, it makes a lot more sense to say that you should say nachim in every single tefillah. I'm not saying psak. I'm just saying that makes a lot more sense. I can live saying nachim l'Yerushalayim Yerucha, even though I think it belongs to Ritzeh. But to say it only mincha time is very, it's not a simple pshat. It's like taking Mesa Mutal Lefanav a little too literally. You know, it's like, but whatever, that's what the Bach holds. Any questions about that? Last chance. Any questions? All right. So I'll pose a question to you that John Deutsch asked. And just to be, for the sake of honesty, the question is a good question. His line of reasoning wasn't the right line of reasoning in this, but I was thinking about his question and I thought of a different line of reasoning, which I think something to think about. So just to be clear, the Gemara never talks about 9 days of Shavuot Shechabo of not eating meat and wine. The only mention of meat and wine is really by Erev Tisha B'Av and Tisha B'Av, obviously Tisha B'Av itself, but it's really by Erev Tisha B'Av. Okay. So the minhag, but it's a very old minhag. It's endorsed lahalacha that whether Shavuot Shechabo or 9 days, a person can't have basar and yayin. Okay, so John asked, what about chicken? Okay, so the simple answer is to say that once by basar b'challah, we treat oaf like basar, right? Which is what we do. We give it the chalos, so to speak, of being like basar. It's something like the Ramban. It's almost like a chafsa of basar now. So you could argue that today the same thing should apply. We don't differentiate anymore between chicken and meat. Okay? In other words, when a guy has chicken, he waits the same amount of time as he waits for meat. Right? Which makes sense. There's only one problem, though. The problem is that when it comes to basar v'yayin, you see that in yantiv, you can't be yotze with oaf. Right? You can't be yotze with oaf on your basar v'yayin on yantiv. No one seems to hold that way. And that's pretty clear. Okay? Meaning that when it comes as a vehicle of simcha, it's only through meat that you achieve that objective. So if the whole idea of not having meat and wine in the 9 days is to withdraw from foods of simcha, so why can't a person have chicken? Anyone have an answer for that, by the way? But the problem is no one brings that down, by the way. That's a problem. Like the Mishnah Berurah says, no, chicken is also a problem. You know, like they don't even hesitate. But I don't understand. Like, in other words, everyone seems to hold that when it comes to Basar V'Yayin and Yom Tov, it's only through actual meat, like beef, no chicken. That's not a ochel of simcha, right? So if that's true, so then why shouldn't the same thing apply here? In other words, we're only not having it because we don't want to have foods of simcha. And Of isn't a food of simcha. The only reason why Of is like basar is because of the issue of basar v'chalav. In and of itself is not basar, it's chicken. It's just that we give it the properties of basar because of the chashash of but it's not an ochel of simcha. You know what I mean? It's very odd, no? So no one has an answer for that other than, oh, that's what we should do today. You can only be machmir but not mekel.